Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 8. Last time I did, I believe, 8, 1 through 5, and we're going to go through the rest now, but we'll read the whole thing anyway. So Revelation chapter 8, we'll read from verse 1. And when he broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And then the angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer, he filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth, and there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. And the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burnt up, and a third of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, a third of the ships were destroyed. A third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were smitten, so that a third of them might be darkened, and the day might not shine for a third of it. And the night in the same way. I looked and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Amen. Just do a quick review here. Last time we talked about this whole scene that's happened, and then there was a silence that occurred, and we kind of equated that to prayer. You got to understand, when silence is happening, it doesn't mean that God is ignoring you. God is about to do something. And so as soon as this happens, silence, the seal is open, silence breaks forth in heaven, and then the angels begin to come into order. And then we have these six trumpets. So we go through three of them here, and we'll get to the other ones later on. Now, when we use the word trumpet, obviously the trumpet that we know today, like if you go to some orchestra, if you go to the Hong Kong Philharmonic, the trumpet that they're using is not the trumpet he's talking about. The trumpet that he's talking about here is actually made out of ram's horn. If you're familiar in Hebrew or in Israel, it's called a shofar. And it's this long instrument, actually very, very difficult to blow. It looks really easy. It's a very majestic thing. But it's very difficult to blow. I learned that firsthand when someone asked me to blow at this big prophetic intercession conference, and they said, "Well, young man, come up here and blow this thing." And I went, "Poof." And it was pretty embarrassing. It's very difficult. I mean, that's my main point. And so this shofar, and in Israel, in the Jewish culture, it has a huge, huge amount of significance. And we're going to go through a couple of these meanings and the significance of this. And so it would be quite appropriate for John to have this revelation that these shofars are going to be blown at different times. And in this particular case, to really unleash the judgment of God upon the land that's happening. And so one of the first ways that the trumpet was used in the history of the Israel people was actually to warn the people of an emergency. Let's go, if you want to turn your Bible, let's go to Ezekiel 33 and go back a little bit. It's this idea of the watchman. And in Ezekiel chapter 33, we'll read verse 1 through 6. This is the duty of the watchman. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land and a people of the land, take one man from among them and make him their watchman. And he sees a sword coming upon the land, and he blows on the trumpet and warns the people. Then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming, does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity. His blood I will require from the watchman's hand. No. Imagine this situation. So you're picked to be the watchman. The trumpet is very, very important to you because the trumpet is really a matter of life and death. He says here, if enemies are coming your way, the sound of the trumpet happens and people are warned. Now, if you hear the sound and you don't do anything about it, that's your problem. But if you are the watchman and you blow the trumpet and the person doesn't blow the trumpet and someone dies, guess what? He says, then your blood is required of you. And so, I mean, can you imagine this idea of the trumpet is a pretty big deal. If you're a watchman and you don't blow the trumpet, so the whole society in general, in this New Testament time, are very aware of the purpose of the trumpet, of the shofar. What happens is, if you hear it blowing, that means the enemy is about to attack. You need to take your position, you need to put your armor on, you need to get out and do what you need to do. And so it's very, very prevalent in their culture. It was also the prophets used this to as an analogy or as a picture of impending judgment that's coming. Joel chapter 2, verse 1, the prophet Joel says, blow the trumpet in Zion. In other words, blow it out because the Lord's coming in his judgment. And so they were very aware. Now, the trumpet or the shofar, if you've been ever in a prayer meeting, whatnot, it also signifies the beginning of a festal assembly. And so before some of these great festivals like the Day of Atonement or others, it was first preceded by a shofar. If you've ever gone to like a charismatic, prophetic prayer conference, I guarantee there's going to be some old man, some old woman sitting in the back of the church, and before the thing starts, he's going to blow the shofar, and everyone's going to freak out, and all the non-charismatics are going to freak out, all the charismatics are going to praise God, hallelujah, all these kind of things are going to happen, because it was in the Jewish culture, it was the beginning of, it was kind of the announcement that the party is about to begin. This is what we're going to do right now. It was to herald gladness. I'll just give you a few scriptures if you want to look into it. Leviticus 23:24 talks about this, and Numbers 10:10. Joel in 2, I said verse 1, but also in 12:17, he also uses the trumpet as a call to assembly of repentance to turn them from judgment into God's hand of mercy. And so we see that this is a very common theme. And when these trumpets or the shofar is blowing here in chapter 6, I take it more of kind of a Joel kind of warning. That it's not so much that God is there to wipe the world. Because if you notice, it's very interesting. Only a third of everything gets wiped out. And so still two-thirds are left. Now, let me give you a little interesting aside of that to kind of think about. Remember last a month ago, we talked about numbers. What percentage of heaven fell? Do you remember? Lucifer became Satan. What percentage? One-third. Isn't that interesting? So one-third, we're talking about in the beginning of creation, one-third of heaven falls, and then at the end of this whole thing, one-third of earth falls. Isn't that interesting? Is that really? I don't know. I just throw it out there. But I thought, wow, this kind of some kind of equality is happening here. There's a fall from heaven, and now it's equated with this fall of the earth. In heaven falling down on earth in many ways, but it's still one third. And this is an impending time of judgment. This is a warning, and hopefully to turn people into the hands of the mercy of God. And deliverance of God's people. So the other way a trumpet was also used in the scriptures, it was the trumpet on the last day to herald the deliverance of the people of God, or the resurrection, as we take in New Testament term. And so turn to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah is very late in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14. And it says, "Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning, and the Lord God will blow the trumpet and will march in the storm winds of the south." This is talking about the deliverance of Judah. And so we see at the end times, the trumpet is going to blow, and it's going to be the marker of the day where that God delivers his people. Now, we have a New Testament equivalent, so you want to turn to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, we'll read verse 31. This is the glorious return. And he said here, "And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet that will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." And so we see Old Testament, New Testament, the shofar, the blowing of the trumpet, had this significance to say that this was the deliverance of God's people. There's so many other passages all throughout. 1 Corinthians 15 relays this. 1 Thessalonians. So if you want to think, the blowing of the shofar had so many different ramifications for the Israelites. It was the impending judgment. It was a call to repentance. It was a sign of deliverance and a sign of salvation. And it was the sign, it was the blowing, the time of a new age that was about to hearken upon either the country or the whole world in this case. And that's what the trumpet's about. So let's go back to Revelation here. We go back to this text. So verse 6, "The seven angels had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound them." So each one is responsible for a sound that's going to happen. There's going to be a blowing of the shofar, and it's going to release something. This is, if you think about it, this is kind of God's created order. If you notice, things don't just happen. They just don't appear on its own. There's usually a word that goes out. There's a sound of some sort, which really draws a lot of significance for us. That's why it's important for us to preach the gospel. It's important for us to make a sound, in essence, to use our words. The Bible, John tells us that God is the Word. He's the Logos, the divine Logos. And in that Word, the other side of that is the Rhema, which is the spoken Word. There's something about a sound that takes place. And when you look at creation, God didn't snap his fingers at creation. Well, what did God do? I know it's early morning, but what did he do? He spoke. He said, "Let there be light." That there was a sound that occurred, and in the sound became creativity came out. Now, I only say this to go on a, kind of a short tangent. This is why worship is so important for us. Because worship is that place where the sound of our hearts are elevated to God. It's not just God knows our thoughts and he knows our mind, but he wants us to relay sound in some way, because there is some kind of creative force with sound. When we speak, when we pray, remember, God already knows what we're praying for. He already knows what we want and what we need and all these things, but he still asks us to pray. Why? Is it just some kind of formality? No, I believe that there's something to do with the sound. It's the sound or the voice or the noise or the music that we make that has a creative effect. Something happens. And then when God speaks it, and then when we speak it, there's a power that comes alongside of it. It's kind of interesting. And so when we see here, all these things, they don't happen. In other words, there's like a fullness of time. You've heard those things, right? It's not just a fullness of time. The angel blows the trumpet and there's a sound that's released, a noise. And I don't want to use the word noise because it's more beautiful than noise. A sound of very melodic, very powerful blowing of the shofar begins to be released, and in the sound, it opens the door, or creativity, or in this case, these judgments get released. I read the book of Revelation, and it's very figurative, and a lot of analogies, and a lot of different symbolism. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say, well, what does this mean for me? So how do I benefit from this? Not so much benefit, but what is the application in my life? And so, going through these trumpets, well, what the heck is this? And the only thing that kind of came into my heart was this whole issue of sound, that there's power in that sound. And so, next time you're late for worship, don't be. It's important. There's a power there that we release unto God. And quite frankly, he says he lives in that place anyway. And so it happens. So the first sounded, and then there came hail, fire mixed with blood. They were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burnt up, and a third of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. So this is a picture of now the earth basically it gets scorched. I want you to kind of do a kind of aside and go back to Exodus, I believe chapter 7, if you remember the plagues that hit Egypt. It's very, very interesting for you to take the 10 plagues, put them next to each other, and then the 7 bowls and judgments that are happening, and there's a lot of similarities that are there. Now, you're not going to get like the locusts and exactly, but you're going to see that the crops and the earth and all these things get destroyed, and so there's some kind of correlation that's happening here that John is relating to that actually goes all the way back to the plagues that happened in Egypt. And so for the first angel, the first trumpet that gets released is basically the burning up of the earth. But only a third, again. So hail and fire mixed with blood comes down. I mean, I don't know. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? Is blood just going to flow out of the sky? I mean, I don't know. But it's going to be this crazy thing. When I think, and maybe it's a little too naturalistic, I don't know, but I think when the hail and fire come, I liken the blood to be, maybe it's the birds. I mean, I just throw that out there, okay? I don't know. Maybe it's the birds that they're getting, basically burnt up by the hail and storm and whatnot, and so we see the blood coming down. I don't know. In my natural mind, I just can't imagine blood coming out of the sky. I mean, it's obviously got to be a supernatural thing, but so I'm trying to understand this. Hail, fire, we've experienced this. And so some people relate this and they think that what's really happening here, now these are more of the naturalists, that this is going to be a comet. Some comet is going to come. You guys have seen the movie Armageddon and all those crazy sci-fi movies about the end of the world. But a comet is going to come and hit the earth, and that's part of what's going to happen. Who knows, right? I mean, it's fine with me if that happens. Well, it's not fine with me, but if that's the interpretation, that's fine with me. So this happens. Now, the second angel, verse 8, sounded, and it was like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. What does this sound like? A mountain. What does it sound like? It's not that hard. Come on. Earthquake? Volcano? So we see that most likely is probably some kind of earthquake that occurs. And so the mountain literally goes into the sea. We see the shifts happening. Most likely a huge earthquake that happens in the ocean, in the sea. And then ships were destroyed. All these things happen. So that's the second one. So if you think about this, the first one is a judgment on the land, and the second one is what? A judgment on the sea, on the oceans. Now, the third happens, verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from the heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. So we see, now wormwood was this herb. It was a plant, basically, but it was very, very bitter. And generally in the Jewish culture, this bitter plant represented sorrow and despair. Okay? So, you know, we have like roses. What do roses represent? Love. So you give, if you love someone, you give them roses. If you love someone, you don't give them the wormwood plant. That basically means that I don't like you very much. So very similarly in that regard. And so this wormwood, and it's interesting, he calls it this, and it's this star. Now, we're talking about a star falls from the heavens, and it's this bitterness that comes. And also it means impending judgment. And so the whole thing is starting to happen here. And then now the water is attacked on the earth. So now, so you're dealing with the land and then the oceans and the seas. And now it's this attack on water. Really what this is really about is it's an attack on man's sustenance. What we're, you know, what we need to live on and go through. So it goes through this. And then the water made bitter. So many, many people died of this. I know that there's a lot of fighting in the world right now because of oil. There are many, many economists, many, many Christian people, praying people that believe the next great battle of commodity is actually going to be water. It's going to be about water. And so if you are doing investment or anything like that, pretty smart for you to invest in water of some type to own some kind of aquifer somewhere. I don't know how that works, but that's the next great battle. It's not just Christian people. Economists are talking about this as well. And so that's that. And then 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were smitten, so the third of them might be darkened, and the day might not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. Now, this goes all the way back to Zechariah and whatnot. And I honestly really don't know what it means by they were smitten. Something happened to them. Because we know that if the sun or the moon, even if it's just moved a little bit, is going to cause great havoc on Earth. You know, the atmosphere and, you know, how the Earth moves and all this is, the orbit and everything. And so can you imagine that a third, something's going to happen to them, and now we're going to enter into more darkness. Right now, mostly two-thirds of the 24 hours is daytime. And now it's going to be changed. It's going to work the other way around. And so it's going to deal with light and our day, and in some way dealing with our sustenance as well. And then 13, as I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, and saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." So there's a little interlude, and this eagle flies. And remember, eagle is kind of in prophetic language, always kind of represented the prophetic, something that was about to come. And obviously, that's what he does. He says, "Pity you, pity you, pity you, woe, 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 woe," because now these four things happen. A third of the earth, the earth, the sea, all these things happen. And then this prophetic eagle comes and says, "You haven't seen anything yet." And he's basically saying, "I feel sorry for you guys because the next three trumpets are about to come. And it's going to be really bad." And we'll get into that later on. Okay? So let's close our eyes today. Now, all these trumpets, shofar, all these different things, I want to bring an application, but one I talked about a little while ago. I want to bring an application back to that idea of the sound. The sound happened, or the sound came first, and then something happened. And I want to relate that to our prayers today. That's why, personally, for me, I don't really believe in silent prayer all that much. I'm just honest. One is because if you are like me, my mind is on 24/7. I'm always thinking about stuff all the time. I'm just not that disciplined to be quiet and feel like I'm really communing with God. I mean, it takes me a long time to get to that place. And so there's something about voicing. Now, obviously, you don't have to scream. Whisper is fine. But there's something about a sound that we make that has some kind of impact. Remember, the sound comes first, and then something happens. And so I want you to think about that in terms of our prayer life and our worship and all these things. It's really that faith to utter that sound, whatever it may be. It takes strength in us to make that sound. Now, some of the sound may be negligible. In other words, the sound may not be recognizable by anybody. Case in point, Hannah, going all the way back to Samuel. Hannah just wept, but there was a sound coming out of her. And so it doesn't have to be a known language per se. And so, you know, then we talk about speaking in tongues and all those kind of things. But there's something that comes out of us. And there's a sound that's produced. And out of that sound, there is the creativity of God that comes. That's something that's quite beautiful about prayer. God gives us these prayers, but he asks us to make this sound coming out of our mouths that really brings to effect the things that we're praying about. So I just want to encourage you today to make a sound not just in this prayer time, but in our worship. Make a sound. It's the sound. It's in the Greek, the word rhema, the spoken word of God. It's something that's released that comes out, and it has an effect. You know, one of my favorite verses, going back to Luke chapter 1, when Mary is speaking to the angel, and she's like freaking out. Oh, I don't, because the angel tells her, you're going to bear a child, and she's going nuts. I'm not married yet. You know, I'm only betrothed to Joseph and all these things. And remember, the angel says, nothing shall be impossible to the Lord. Actually, it's very, very poor translation. The word there is actually rhema, and the literal translation is, no spoken word of God shall be without ability. In that same way, when God is saying that, when he makes a sound, it's a done deal. So when God makes a sound, it's a done deal. Let there be light, and boom, light happens. And so this can kind of relate. If you've heard the sound of God in your heart over a certain matter in your life, even though it's the manifestation that is not here on earth, you should know that it's a done deal. No spoken word of God should be without ability. The sound comes first, and then the fruition of that comes later, or comes simultaneously, or it happens at the same time. It's quite interesting. It's an incredible spiritual principle. And so today, as we pray this morning, I want you to make a sound. We're going to worship. I want you to make a sound. I know a lot of times in the mornings, most of you guys don't really sing. I don't know what you do, actually, but I don't really hear a lot of singing. Sing. Make a sound. It doesn't have to be a loud sound, but make a sound, because there's something supernatural about the sound of our heart that we make as it connects with God. Amen?
Just to the heavens.
Pray this morning, particularly as individuals. Let's pray over some promises of God that you feel like God has spoken to you. It's been a rhema word, but there may not be fruition right now. You may not be experiencing the manifestation of that word, but have faith. Trust God. It's done. No spoken word of God should be without ability. But that means when God speaks it, the ability to accomplish the word is attached to the sound of that word. Now, you're dealing with a mystery now of why we're not experiencing it. That relates all the way back to what we talked about last month, about the harp and bowls and the incense rising up. It's a mystery. But rest assured that it's coming. Or I should say even more strongly, it's here. And so let's spend a moment, let's make that sound again to the Lord regarding promises and things in our life that we may not be fully experiencing yet, but you sense God has spoken to you about. And let's offer that sound to the Lord again this morning. Let's pray together. Go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends as they battle cancer and chemo and a lot of different things going on. I have a little quick update. The number 3 in the transplant, this is Vince. So I got an email the other day and he actually went back to work. And so he's made incredible progress. He still needs a bone marrow transplant, but things are happening. He went to church for the first time in a long, long time last Sunday. I mean, praise God. So something's happening. So please continue to pray and pray for that match to really settle his leukemia that's going on. And pray for others on the list. So we continue to pray for God's healing word. God's doing something. We may not be seeing it, but he's doing something. So let's continue to join the prayers of the saints in this way. Let's pray. Pray for others that are sick but also need that word of salvation in their life. Well, let's lift them up. That are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's lift them up. For our friends that are needing employment. Wow, the list got smaller this summer. Praise God. All right, let's pray that we just get rid of this list altogether. Huh? Let's pray and God provide for our friends. Let's lift them up. This morning. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing. They're getting close to that magical number of 100. And what that means is that their facility is maxed out, so they might have to look somewhere else. So there's a lot of challenges there. But let's can you lift up Sam and Annie. They're still in LA right now on their break. And let's pray for Chris and Amy and Mary and the leaders there. They will just continue to grow. Let's lift up the Chungs, and they're also in the States right now. We saw them last week and had lunch together. Pray for the end of their sabbatical. They have to figure out the next steps for them and what to do when they go back to China. And so lift them up. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the Basarabas in China. Pray for Leanne in Beijing. Edie Clark and her ministry and the kids in Chichihar and the churches. Let's just lift up this country. Staff, pray for myself. I'm actually flying out tonight to Switzerland. I'll be at officiating Sandra's wedding. So if you pray, pray for Pastor Eugene. Pray specifically for Pastor Carol. She's still at Queen Mary Hospital dealing with her, I guess they call it an ectopic pregnancy. And pray for God's healing word and hand upon her. Pray for Sophia, Nate, Ken, Monica, Bonnie, Sarah, Janella, and Pastor Hyunsu. Let's ask God's hand to be with our staff and that we would serve him with all of our heart, all of our strength, mind. Let's cover. Thank you. Let's pray over our worship and AV teams. Let's pray for our three worship leaders, Nate, Hyunsoo, and John Moon. Let's ask God to cover them and their teams. We need new, more musicians and singers, and let's pray that people would step in and step up a little bit. Let's pray for our AV, our ministry, that all of our equipment would be working well. I know every once in a while we have some malfunction here and there on Sundays, and let's just cover the equipment and all the leaders, and they would serve with a glad heart and really honor God in their servings. Let's just cover them. Not on the list, but let's just pray for our house church season upcoming, the first week of September. Cover the leaders. Let's pray that the whole church would be in a house church this season. And we're a couple house churches are multiplying right now. Let's pray for God's hand, God's favor through the multiplication process, that people pray about where to go, and they would serve diligently with all their hearts, and people would just be connected in community and grow. And let's cover. We thank you this morning for the opportunity to come and to read your word, God, to gain some understanding, to find some application. Lord, we see that judgment is coming, God. Lord, help us to be diligent to lead many of our friends, family members, our colleagues to Christ, God, that judgment would pass over them, Lord. God, just like, Lord, the angel came and the blood was put on the doorpost, God, and death passed over the Israelites. God, I pray that we would be that blood on the doorpost, Lord, that we would be the ones that go, God, and share and mark people, Lord, for Christ. And so be with us today, God. Help us to live with purpose this day, not just aimlessly going about our work and our duties, God, and our responsibilities, Lord, but with purpose, knowing that there might be someone that you want us to talk to today about Jesus. And so help us and speak to us, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you today. Lord, I pray that the sound, God, that comes from our hearts is pleasing to you, God. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, O Lord our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you guys later this week. Bye.